I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I just before we go get going in the Big Five, I wanted to update everyone on the basketball. Milwaukee 25, Boston 19. Early second quarter. Kyrie Irving is throwing up bricks again. He's 2-for-9 shooting for the Celtics so far. They need him to get going. All right. Let's roll. Turn your mic
on,
Scrady.
That'll be me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about ditching one and actually asking you something in the Big Five.
Why are you going to ditch a question?
Because I came up with a better question.
Five. Oh, okay. You want to ditch a question and replace it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You want to do the Super Six today?
The Super Six is fine with me. So, did you hear what Charles Barkley said about Kyrie Irving?
No, I did not.
All right. Because he said that Kyrie Irving will never be a number one guy on his team for the rest of his career without LeBron James. Well, he needs LeBron James to win. So, in the bonus Big Five, Chris, do you think that Kyrie Irving will ever be a number one in his career again?
I would say that he's never been a number one, and I don't think he will be a number one. I agree with Charles Barkley 100%. You know, it's funny to me, the narrative has been so much about Kyrie Irving and where he wants to go and what he wants to do and how he's going to lead this team and that team. He's proving right now that he can't lead a team. And the championship he won, yes, he hit the last shot, the three-pointer, but so did Jackson hit one to win a championship for the Bulls. It doesn't mean that he was the guy who led them to the title. LeBron James was the reason Kyrie Irving became a champion in the first place, I feel. So my answer is no.
Well, here's what Charles Barkley, the full quote. He said that Kyrie pretty much said, quote, "I want my own team. Now this is the price you pay. This is what the way that it works. I always tell people, people never say, man, Mark West didn't win a championship. Cedric Ceballos didn't win a championship. But I love both those guys. They say Charles Barkley didn't win a championship. That's the way it is. And that's the way it is for Kyrie when he said he wanted to be his own man. Now you're your own man and you're going on vacation Thursday morning."
Who said that?
Charles Barkley.
Oh, okay.
Well, Charles is right.
Tony, what do you think?
I'd like to see Kyrie prove me wrong tonight.
But I think ultimately Kyrie is failing his test. That's what it is. I mean, this is how you find out if you can lead, right? If you can get men to follow your lead. And they haven't played good. And it's not necessarily that they haven't followed, but he hasn't played good. I mean, I think that's ultimately has to be the first thing that takes place when you become the guy, right? You got to handle your business first, and he hasn't done that. So, right, I think right as of right now, I can't say that he can lead his team to the promised land.
What does it say about Kyrie Irving? I mean, think if you're a diehard Celtic fan, you're thinking to yourself right now, you're watching this game tonight, your team's about to go out for the season in the semifinal. Last year, you almost got to the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving. So what is that telling you about Kyrie Irving, just that alone? It's at least bringing his skill into question.
It seems like it's been a really long year for Kyrie.
To me, it's not even about his skill. His skill is
yeah, no, you're
is
right.
A question.
No, his skill is
it's,
there.
It's the clutch, basically. Can you play? Can you be the guy when the pressure's on you? Can you be the guy when the mic's in your face all the time? Can you be that guy that's there? And he's handled some of it, but he hasn't handled the main part, which is winning on the court.
Right. All right, now we can get into the real Big Five, brought to you by EcoWater Treatment Systems for anywhere you drink water.
Thank you very much. Now let's get into it, Thomas. Thank you. I've already said it this year, and I'll say it again. White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson is my new favorite guy in baseball because he doesn't care what the unwritten rules say. He was doing a radio interview and said, quote, "I don't really know the rules. There's not any for me. I can't call them dumb because I don't have any. Nobody really came to me and said, these are the rules, so I really don't know what they are," end quote. Tony, do you think the majority of baseball still believes in the unwritten rules?
I don't know. I don't know if they believe him or they don't believe in him. I don't even believe in these unwritten rules. I mean, because what is an unwritten rule?
Bat flipping after a home run.
Oh, they don't. So that nobody knows that. How do you know it then if it's unwritten? You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows.
Isn't it just understood?
It is understood. You can elect to go about it Tim Anderson's way. That's fine, but that don't mean that somebody else is following them along the same lines, which is how it happened in the first place. He clearly didn't care about these quote unquote unwritten rules, and he displayed that.
Chris, what do you think?
And hats off to him for it. But the other guy who was on the mound clearly was playing by those rules and proceeded to hit him right in his butt cheek.
And he didn't like that.
And he didn't like it. So, it's, hey, to each his own. To each his own.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think fewer and fewer players are playing by the, quote, unwritten rules. And I think we all have to just accept that that's the way the game is now. We don't have to, but if we're going to enjoy baseball, we have to. Guys are going to pump their fists. Guys are going to do a little Chris Paddock, after they come up with a big strikeout, stalking off the mound. And if we're okay with that, we got to be okay with Tim Anderson flipping his bat. But as Tony said the other day, if Pete Alonso did hit a home run the day after he was struck out twice by Chris Paddock, did a little bat flip as well. Padres had no reason and no way they could complain about it, nor did they.
Nope.
So if Tim Anderson is going to do what he does, then somebody sticks a ball in his ear, he should just go down to first base. That's all I'm saying. He can do his bat flip.
Don't hit him in his ear, though.
I know what I'm saying.
Like right in his, stuff.
And where he got hit last time.
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't like that. So that's where he's still missing the point. If he's going to be doing what he does, like you said perfectly the other day, if Alonso ever hits a home run off Chris Paddock, he can moonwalk around the bases.
And again, I hope he does.
I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy Chris Paddock. I enjoy Alonso. I enjoy Tim Anderson. But that don't mean everybody else that he's playing against enjoys it and looks at it the same way. And no matter how much people complain about it, that's going to forever be the way it is. There's going to be people who feel some type of way about it. There's going to be guys that don't care. And as long as there's a mix, there's going to be an issue. That's just how it is.
Thomas has a big problem with Pete Alonso's bat flip. He's been telling me all morning about how bad the bat flip was.
First of all, the bat got stuck in his hand because he clearly had too much stickum on his hand.
Yeah.
You could see him it stuck with him too long, and then it ended up almost hitting the umpire. And you could, as soon as he looked back, oh man, it kind of got stuck. But then he just went around the bases and almost hit Bill Miller and Austin Hedges. But
it's hilarious. It was pretty hilarious.
You could tell he was totally uncomfortable doing it. Was so out of his character.
Yeah.
Right.
I also think it says that Chris Paddock is that much better than we all thought. If Pete Alonso is getting hits off of all these other guys and Chris Paddock he can't even touch, struck out twice against him, I think that makes it look
Chris
even better.
Chris Paddock is as good as we think he is, but that don't have nothing to do with striking out. I mean, that happens literally every game. He just happened to have a good games after.
Get me out of here. Number four. Already did it. Okay. A's pitcher Mike Fiers completed his second career no-hitter last night as the A's beat the Reds 2-0. Coming into the game, he was 2-3 with a 1.54 whip and a 6.81 ERA, which is the highest ERA for a pitcher at the time of a no-hitter since the stat was first recorded in 1913. He also has the third highest career ERA for a pitcher with two no-hitters. As we know, the Padres are still looking for their first franchise no-hitter. So, Chris, do you think any of the starters on the Padres team now has the stuff to throw a no-hitter?
Yes, Chris Paddock definitely has the stuff to throw a no-hitter. He's thrown nothing but four hitters and three hitters so far, so I would think he's definitely got the stuff. The no-hitter is still one of the most arbitrary things in all of sports. I hate to say it. Yes, it doesn't make you a great pitcher because you threw a no-hitter. And it doesn't make you not a great pitcher because you never threw a no-hitter. Now, the fact that Nolan Ryan threw seven, I think that kind of underscores his ability to dominate. Sandy Koufax had four. But these guys getting one no-hitter there, one no-hitter here, it's not always great guys, as Mike Fiers' ERA proves. You look at the list of guys that have thrown no-hitters. I mean, it's not a who's who of Major League pitching over the years. It is really crazy and amazing that the Padres have never had one, but I think it's arbitrary, and they could just as easily get three or four of them in a two-year span. No, they can't. Maybe they're better off just not having one and having that always be next to their name.
I don't know why I almost called Tony Tim, but
what
Tony?
What was the question?
The question was, do you think any of the starters the Padres have now have the stuff to throw a no-hitter?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Chris Paddock definitely has the stuff to throw a no-hitter. Without a doubt. Strom could mess around and throw a no-hitter.
Is this the most likely? Wait, I know it can happen anytime. Before you guys jump down.
No, because Jake Peavy was a guy that I think had the stuff to throw a no-hitter.
Okay, that's where I was going with that. Yeah.
You know, the Padres have had a ton of guys who could have thrown a no-hitter, and they've had a ton of guys who you would never think could throw a no-hitter, but still could have thrown one. That's why I'm saying it's a very arbitrary thing.
Okay.
Number three.
The demise of the Alliance of American Football has been detailed at length since the league shut down on April 2nd, but Sports Illustrated's Connor Orr, he released a story today involving Marshawn Lynch. Now, Lynch, he was reportedly attending the AAF's quarterback draft in November 2018 to support his cousin Josh Johnson, but the former running back for the Seahawks and Raiders then agreed to a two-minute interview at the Luxor Casino in Las Vegas in exchange for $5,000. But Marshawn Lynch just didn't want to check. He told Charlie Ebersol, the co-founder of the AAF, he wanted it in quarters. So Charlie Ebersol got him his quarters, and he paid him $5,000 worth of quarters for his two-minute interview. It has nothing to do. The question has nothing to do with that. The question is, Tony, it's the story. Is Marshawn Lynch worth $5,000 for a two-minute interview?
Apparently so. Apparently so.
Somebody's willing to pay him.
Whatever somebody is willing to pay you, that is what you are worth. So clearly, he's worth $5,000 to the AAF.
Well, now we know why it shut down. Chris?
Marshawn Lynch sounds like the kind of guy who would walk into a bank and ask for change for a nickel. Who in the world asks for $5,000 worth of quarters unless you got a whole lot of laundry to do?
Seriously.
He might have won slots all night.
Another fact about the story.
I'm sure he did, but that would be sure that's what it was for. Marshawn Lynch is you know, he's a little out there.
The last part of the story is that the interview never aired anywhere.
It never happened.
So they paid $5,000 for 2 minutes of his time, and it never happened.
But no, Tony's right. If somebody give you $5,000 like to play third base at our softball team tonight, then you're worth $5,000 to do it. But I'm going to tell you, no one's going to give that to you.
Yeah. Wait until you see me play.
So please, can you guys bring your phones with you, please?
Oh, come on.
Video. I'm not even going to play tonight. I'm just going to video Scraby at third base.
Oh, you're playing third, too?
That's what I heard.
Oh, you better get your hamstrings loose, dog.
Oh, me and Fernando Tatis going to be stretching somewhere.
Oh,
that sounded really weird.
That did.
James Holzhauer. You guys heard of him before?
Nope.
James who?
Holzhauer?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, he's used analytics and sports betting to win 22 straight Jeopardy games, raking in almost $1.7 million and making himself an internet celebrity. And one day, his dream job is to become a baseball executive. And according to actual baseball executives, those front office dreams are not that crazy, because a lot of big names are saying that he could have a chance in baseball. One of them, the A's Billy Beane. Others, including Boston Red Sox president Sam Kennedy, Baltimore Orioles assistant GM Sig Mejdal.
If you don't know it, just don't bring it up.
I can't help you on that one.
Yeah, this is not a very good Big Five for me, but... Holzhauer, all those guys say he has absolutely a chance of landing a job in Major League Baseball, and that teams, quote, put a huge premium on analytical abilities both on the baseball side and the business side, end quote. Chris, do you think a person without a baseball background could be a successful baseball GM?
See the movie Moneyball?
I have. It's great.
Do you remember the
Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill character?
Yes.
Wasn't he supposed to be...
he was assistant to Billy Beane.
Yes, but he was supposed to be somebody in real life. But anyway, yes, his character in that movie basically played a guy that didn't have any kind of baseball background of any kind of sort, but understood numbers better than anybody, fed them to Billy Beane, and they built the Moneyball A's, and that has been the beginning of what we now have in the analytical
day. It was Dee Podesta.
Day and age. Yeah, Paul Dee Podesta was who he was supposed to be. Thank you. Anyway, my point is in this day and age of baseball, I'm not necessarily a fan of all the analytics. I wish that there were more baseball people in baseball, but
This guy that's an outlandish idea.
Yeah, because that just makes no sense to want baseball people. But yes, I think a nerdy Jeopardy guy would be a perfect baseball executive the way things are nowadays.
Wow, I didn't expect that answer. Tony, what do you think?
It's big facts. That's just him telling the truth. That's how it is. And
imagine being a ball player.
It's not even about them being a nerd either. It's more about him being able to, as Chris said, be really good with the analytics, and they use it, and you know, so that obviously gives them a lot of value. And you could see teams like the Astros, or you know, some of the teams that are high on the far end of the analytical spectrum.
They would want to get a guy like this. Would it bother you if someone without baseball got into baseball? Because if someone who didn't have any,
there's
radio
already
experience,
people without baseball that are in baseball.
I don't think you understand. Like most of the organizations are,
everybody's got these guys already.
Now, I shouldn't say most. There are a lot of organizations that already have that.
I mean, what's a baseball guy anyway, in your mind? Somebody who's played, somebody who's coached, somebody who's been
around the game. You don't actually have to play. I don't believe, was AJ Preller a player at any point? Because he's been around the game for a long time.
So he qualifies as a baseball guy.
Yeah, for someone who's never been a
part of
profession.
Do I qualify as a baseball guy?
You do, because you've been around baseball a long time.
Not in any kind of level, and you know, working level.
But I think that you would have a better opinion of a player's value than someone who doesn't know anything about baseball.
Not in the analytical day, I wouldn't. Mm-mm. I wouldn't have a better opinion on the guy. The guy in Jeopardy, I guarantee you, knows five times as much about some of these player stats that I do.
All right. That's interesting. You guys surprised me on that one. Number one. The NBA playoffs are still going on, as we know, but Warriors management might be worried about one of their guys signing elsewhere in the offseason. That's five-time All-Star Klay Thompson. Rumors are getting hot and heavy about him leaving the Warriors after this year if they don't give him a max deal. Those rumors also say that he may be a candidate to join the Lakers or the Clippers. So, Tony, is Klay Thompson worth max deal money to the Warriors?
Oh, I don't know. And that it's going to be tough for the Warriors, right? Because what if KD says he wants to come back? Who do you prioritize?
Yeah,
I think that. I mean, I think most of us are going to say Kevin Durant, right?
Yes.
Which means you can't give Klay Thompson the max.
That's true.
So, I believe he had to make an All NBA team, one of the All NBA teams, to guarantee himself like the super max type money.
Okay.
But for everybody's saying he's going to fall short of that.
Yeah.
So he'll just be, I guess, just the regular max, whatever that
right,
is.
Yeah, 200.
But it's going to be, is he worth the max? I would say yes.
Okay.
I think he is worth the max. Now, it's just going to depend on the team that is going after him, if they're going to feel like that. I think most of the teams in free agency, maybe aside from the Warriors, are going to offer him the max.
I have a feeling this is the last year for the Warriors. I have a feeling. Everybody's going to go elsewhere. Chris, what do you think?
I think Klay Thompson will come back to the Warriors at less than the max. That's what I think he's going to do. Now, I don't know him, and I don't know what he's thinking, but he's in a great situation. Very good chances he's going to be part of a team that has four championships in 5 years. Does he really need the max to fulfill his NBA career?
Probably not.
I mean, four rings is pretty good, and a chance at winning a fifth if Kevin Durant comes back. That's pretty powerful to me. I've heard Klay Thompson talk and interviewed. I just have a feeling that's the direction he's going to go. Rather than take the max and go to the Chicago Bulls and say, okay, build a team around me. Because I don't really know that he's that kind of player anyway.
You guys are missing the point of, these guys want to be considered the best, right, at their position.
Or he wants
at
to their prove thing. Himself.
And the only way you to define that, the only way that people define that,
is by how much money
is
you
by
make?
How much money you make.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know who the highest paid quarterback
honestly,
is in the NFL, but I know that Tom Brady's the best quarterback.
But it's not about really our opinion. It's about their opinion. Players' opinion.
Okay, that's
you're
their
players see each other that
yes.
way.
That's
absolutely.
How player. Okay,
I mean that's why.
I see what you're
that's
saying.
Why certain guys want to have. Bryce Harper wants to have more an annual value than the next guy below. You know, because that is what the separator is.
All right. I think it's fair that the players see it that way, but I don't know that the fans and the media and history sees it that way. So we'll see what Klay Thompson does. I'll tell you one thing. You better make more than one three-point shot tonight if he wants to come back to the Warriors, because I think it's you're only
you're
as good as your last.
You're not going to have him back if he only makes
one. Exactly.
Make
you're only as good as your last at bat.
His whole career is coming down to one three.
You're nothing to us.
His last few at-bats have not been all that great. All right, 6 o'clock hour to go. Padre Pen Pals will be coming along shortly. Oh, no.
It's a good one.
Oh, no.
Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right.
Is it time?
And I promoted your pen pal segment, so let's get to it.
Is it time?
Okay, Padres fans, now's your time to ask the experts.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Gwen and Chris answer all your questions about the Padres.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Padres Pen Pal starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, with the heavy rock, I think it sounds pretty cool.
Padres Pen Pals starts now. Okay.
You guys, every time we do this, you guys just sit there and you guys act like you don't think this is a cool segment.
The segment's fine. The name of it, I've always had a problem.
For real.
Well, the reason, the way you can do this is that there is a group on Facebook. It's called the San Diego Friarhood, and it's a Padres group, and I go in there and I put... If you have a question for Tony Gwynn Jr. or Chris Sello, let me know here, and I will ask them on the air during the show. So we got a lot of good responses this week, and we'll get started with this one. His name is Tyler Polson. Not sure, but P-O-L-C-Y-N, Tyler Polson. He says, Gore has been killing it this season. What is a realistic timeline for his progression? Double-A soon, then Padres roster next year. Tony? Well, what do you think about Mackenzie Gore?
We're talking about
Gore.
Mackenzie Gore.
Correct.
Not Al Gore.
No, oh yeah, Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore.
Okay.
I would say that it's likely, it could be 2020, but it's more likely 2021.
Okay, so one more full year, and then he can come up.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see, you definitely won't see him this year.
Okay.
You may see him towards the end of next year, or who knows? It depends on how fast he progresses. Maybe he just has a lights-out year, and they feel like he's ready for Triple-A to start the season next year. Who knows? It's a lot of time, but my guess would be 2021.
Chris, what do you think about
Mackenzie
Gore? Does
anybody ever make it to the big leagues straight from Single-A, Tony?
Luke Gregerson.
Is it possible?
Luke Gregerson comes to mind.
Luke Gregerson did straight from Single-A? Because if anybody was ever going to make it straight from Single-A, it'd probably be this guy. My goodness, he is completely dominating, right? 45 strikeouts, 6 walks, 30 innings, 3-0, 1.15 ERA. I mean, he's been insane. So I think he's got a shot to be on this club at some point next year.
Wow.
He certainly has a shot. Doesn't mean he will be. I mean, the Padres are going to have to continue to dig deep, I think, into their minor league system because they want to protect all the young arms that they have. And so as in doing so, we've seen already Avila come up to pitch a game. We've seen Quantrill come up to pitch a couple of games. I'm not saying Gore's coming up this year, but he keeps doing this. It's going to be pretty clear that he belongs at a higher level than where he's at now.
I'm looking at a list of people who went, didn't even go to AAA, didn't go single A, just went straight to Major League Baseball. The last guy to do it was a pitcher, Mike Leake, when he debuted for the Reds in 2010. So I guess it's
Fallbrook High School.
Yeah, it's very rare.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. It does happen, yes.
All right, we're going to the next one. His name is Rando Kazpu. I mean, I got some real names today. K-A-Z-C-P-U. Is that Kazpu?
I don't know.
Kazpu?
I'm not going to attempt it. Just
and
give us
first name. His first name is Rando
okay.
as well.
Rando.
Yeah, good.
Rando says, or is asking you guys.
How would you like somebody to be on the radio right now?
Trust
going,
me.
You know, his name is Matt Scrabby. Scrabby? Scrabble-a-goo? Scrabber? Scheeby?
I mean, we
Scrabby?
Have.
Well, boy, this is a weird name.
We have an open
but he's
of
got
you
a
doing
question.
That.
Scrabbly, Scrabby, Scrabber.
We have an open of you doing that same thing. You called me Scrabalingus, which makes me
no,
sad.
That's but we're making doing it on purpose, though.
That's a
it's
nickname.
Like a, yeah, we're having
you're
a
like, hey, I'm you're... sorry, Rando.
Thank you for apologizing to the young man.
All right. His question is, Chris, you're up first, too. What are our best in-system bullpen arms for the rest of the year? Like, is there anybody who's going to be called up at some point that you know is going to be called up at some point?
I wish you would have asked me this question this afternoon. I would have said Gerardo Reyes, and that would have looked really, really smart. You know, I I think that you could take a look up and down that AA and AAA roster and just find a bunch of guys who are all throwing 95 miles an hour. I mean, that's what the Padres have. They've been drafting these pitchers for years and years and years and developing them. And every single time they bring a guy up, he comes through. Brad Wick. I mean, come on. He struck out four of the guys he faced, five guys he faced the other night. It's just one guy after another. So I'm not really worried about the names. I'm worried about the number of people, and I think that they've got plenty, and it's a good thing they've got plenty because they're going to need them as this season goes along.
What do you think, Tony?
As far as what? Who the other arms that they have?
What arms are you looking at?
I don't know any off the top of my head. I know they have the Munoz kid down there that throws extremely hard.
You think we're going to see Robert Stock back at the highest level?
Yeah,
soon?
I think you'll see him again. I think you'll see him again at the top at some point. At some point, I don't know when that'll be, but you'll see him again. And so they still have that kind of depth down there. We don't know. I don't know what else they have off the top of my mind, other than the guys that I named.
The bullpen is definitely not set.
Mahone,
right now.
Mahone's another one that's supposedly a flamethrower. I don't know how close these guys are though.
But the bullpen is definitely up in the air as to who will be here by the end of the year.
Yeah.
They got a guy named Fernando Rodriguez Jr. who's got three saves at El Paso, but he's got a high ERA. It's hard to judge that because it's a hitting league, too. So you look at strikeouts, the innings pitched. This guy's got 21 strikeouts in 15 innings. Seems like somebody they might take a look at if need be.
Thanks, Rando.
Thanks, Rando.
Next pen pal up, Will McCafferty. He says, with our young starters, it is expected that the Padres will severely limit their number of innings. If the Padres are still in serious contention in the second half, do you see them altering this plan, Tony?
I don't.
Really?
I don't.
It's kind of like the Nationals in Strasburg a few years ago.
I've read that 150 is a real number, legitimate number for Chris Paddock this year. So, but I think if they get to that, I think that's it.
Wow.
I think they are going. This is his second year away from Tommy John?
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, they're going to protect him. They've already bucked the system by bringing him up to start the season and starting their clock and all that because they want to win.
Yeah.
But I think they'll protect him. Now, I could be wrong. I haven't talked to AJ personally and asked him about it, but my guess is that they'll protect him, even if they get to that 150, even if they're in contention.
Keep in mind that Paddock already has 40 innings pitched this year.
Wow.
Okay, and we're in the first week of May, or second week of May. If you times that by four, you'd be in August, and he'd be at about 160. So that's right about where Tony's
talking. So that's why
they're
doing the six-man rotation thing.
Right.
Absolutely. They're trying to extend it as much as they can. I agree with Tony. I don't agree with what they're doing, but I agree with Tony. I understand. We talked about this yesterday for quite a while.
We did.
I know that they want to protect these arms. I get it. Now, all the analytics say you need to do it. But my feeling is if you're in contention, nothing in the future is ever guaranteed you. And if you want proof, ask Steven Strasburg about it because he missed a whole playoff one year because they didn't think. They just figured that the Nationals would be in the championship every year and he'd be able to pitch the next time. And you know what? It never has really come back around for Strasburg. I think if you're in first place by five or six games or something in August, and you need Chris Paddock to pitch a couple more games down the stretch, I think you got to do it because there's no guarantee you'll be back in that spot next year. That's my thinking, but it's probably the minority.
All right. Our next pen pal is Nick McNulty. He wants to ask about Chris Paddock. He said, could Chris Paddock get a nod for being our candidate and representing San Diego at the All-Star game this summer? Chris?
Sure.
Sure, there's nothing wrong. There's a lot of rookies that have made the All-Star team. It's not the easiest thing to do, but I think easier as a pitcher than it is a position player. Why? Because position players are voted in by the fans, and they largely ignore rookies and don't know about rookies. Meanwhile,
I think they know about him now.
Well, I'm sure people know about Paddock. My point is that the people who are going to decide on the pitching staff are guys that are, you know, in baseball. Managers, general managers,
Jeopardy
coaches.
Jeopardy winners.
But you know what's funny? Is like I would think the Padres would secretly hope he doesn't make the All-Star team because that's another inning that he might have to pitch.
Good point.
I hate to say it, but that's how crazy this whole thing is.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
I think he has a legitimate chance if he keeps pitching like this. You got to remember who's managing the National League All-Stars. Be Dave Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at seen him quite a few times by that point. And
he's going to see him next Tuesday. I know that.
I think, you know, depending on how he does, I think he's also got to remember, listen, I believe what Chris Paddock did the other day was calculated. How much chatter has he gotten nationally just on that incident alone?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
With the Mets in town. So the New York media is covering it. So it worked to perfection. I don't know if he can continue, if he'll continue to pitch like this. I think he can. If he does, he's got a legitimate shot.
All right, our last pen pal for the day is Maggie or CJ Good. And they ask, will Donelson Lamet come out of the pen or will he be used as a starter for this season when he returns, Tony?
It's a very good question. I think it'll depend on what the Padres are doing at that time. If they're out of it, maybe they're willing to let him start. If they're in it, you could add him to the, you can keep the stress down and add him to your bullpen. They could do a whole bunch of different things. I believe they see Donelson Lamet as a starter, though. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, in certain circumstances, I could see him going to the pen, but in all likelihood, he'll probably start. And I believe that they're probably counting on his arm, considering the amount of pitchers that are going to be on inning limitations.
That's true. Chris, what do you think?
I think the Padres starting rotation, as it sits right now here in the first couple of weeks of May, is going to look a lot different in the first couple of weeks of August. And I think Donelson Lamet hopefully will be healthy enough to be part of that rotation. Because I, you know, just going back to kind of the theme of this entire segment, all of these guys are going to be reaching innings limits by August. I mean, I'm sure they're going to want to keep the numbers down on Lucchesi and Lauer. And it doesn't mean that they won't pitch through September, but I don't think Paddock's going to make it to September. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with Mark Gavishus, but they're certainly going to keep a limit on him as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if guys like Lamet or Quantrill or Pedro Avila or whoever it might be are in that starting rotation come August. It's going to be a strange year. Baseball's just different now. You don't open the season with a five-man rotation and all those guys make 35 starts. That's very rare now. Now you end up having like a 10-man rotation for the season. And the Padres have already had 8 different starting pitchers this year. I see no reason why they won't have a few more, and Donelson Lamet, if healthy, will be one of them.
All right, that's it for this week's Padres Pen Pals. Thank you so much to Tyler, Rando, Will, Nick, and Maggie Orr. Yes.
Where's the close?
Is there no close for this?
Padres Pen Pals is now closed.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
All right.
Can you create a close for that?
Yeah,
please?
I will. I keep forgetting.
Well, the best part of the Padres Pen Pal segment is something that no one notices. It's not the questions, although they're good. It's certainly not the answers, because it's Tony and I. It's not even the idea, and it's not even the name of the segment. The best part of the segment is the scribbling of a pencil in the background that Scraby put into the open. Listen.
You hear it? That's what they're writing to me.
That's them. That's the people writing their note to Scraby to be a pen pal.
I think
that's ingenious.
The thought that gets put into these things.
That's right. That part right there, I think, is the most impressive part of the whole segment.
I really want people to get into it. I want them to feel like they're in it.
If you haven't pen palled us a question yet, and you're kind of a regular listener to the show, and I know that means most of you, get a pen pal question in the Scraby. Tell them how they can reach you in case they don't know.
They can go on Facebook, type in my name, Matt Scraby, or they can go on Twitter, at Matt Scraby.
Okay.
Skraby.
Yeah. And that could get them a pen pal question.
Yeah, they could also go to at Chris LOSD on
Twitter.
Don't
give my Twitter
and
a number
anymore. And they could also go to at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter and ask them questions, and they'll pass them along. Nothing about me, though, because someone keeps asking me for my Tim Lincecum story. Yes, it happened. Tim Lincecum made out with my girlfriend in front of me. The rest is history. Every time I put this up on Facebook, that question is asked.
Couple of quick updates. Rockies and Giants postponed in Denver.
It's snowing.
It's snowing there, and the Padres are headed to Denver this weekend, so we'll keep an eye on that. The Bucks and the Celtics. It's just about over for the Celtics. Going to the fourth quarter, Milwaukee 80, Boston 62. They're going to need a major comeback to keep their season alive. NHL Game 7, San Jose 2, Colorado 1. Second period coming up. Gwen and Chris tomorrow at 3 on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.